Good afternoon, everyone. It is March 25th, Monday, and this is the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Human Services. I do want to make one announcement for tomorrow. I mean, our agendas aren't very long because people aren't quite ready with certain bills, but we are taking Senate Bill 569 off. It was scheduled for a work session tomorrow. We're going to wait for Senate Bill 823, which was just first read today.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be first read tomorrow.
Yeah,
all right.
Goes with this.
Oh, okay. We're taking off Senate Bill 4, which we want to hear with Senate Bill 823, which will be first read tomorrow. So tomorrow we will just have two bills, Senate Bill 2 and Senate Bill 604. Okay, so with that, I will open a work session on Senate Bill. This is the first one?
That is.
601. Sandy, bring us up to date.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 601 is your bill, you may recall. We had a public hearing on this March 5th. This authorizes the relative caregiver with whom a minor child lives to consent to medical treatment and educational services for the minor child if the consent of the legal parent or guardian cannot be obtained after reasonable efforts. Madam Chair, there's no fiscal impact and no revenue impact on the bill.
We want this.
Okay. Is there? Yeah.
Okay,
Is it the dash in the dash one amendments? I didn't think that was
601.
Oh, that's the wrong bill.
Thank you.
I didn't panic.
I got it in the wrong file. Never mind.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 601 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 601 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Sammy Hillary.
Excused.
Senator Knopf.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Excused.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and I'll carry the bill. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 601 and open a work session on Senate Bill 621. Sandy?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you had a public hearing very briefly on March 5th. This requires the director of the Oregon Health Authority to appoint temporary members to the Health Evidence Review Commission if the commission determines it lacks the required expertise or upon the request by interested outside party. At that point, you made a recommendation for proponents and opponents to get together and have a discussion, and we have the dash ones.
Excellent. So, Nan, would you come up and sort of let us know how wonderful working together, how it happened?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Cruz, and Senator Knope. Senate Bill 621, my name is Nan Heim, and I'm here today on behalf of the Advanced Medical Technology Association in support of Senate Bill 621 with the dash one amendments as suggested by the Oregon Health Authority. The Advanced Medical Technology Association has both national and Oregon members. They are companies that develop and produce medical technologies ranging from pacemakers to blood glucose monitoring systems and hundreds of other products. So they're obviously very interested in the Health Evidence Review Commission process because the commission reviews technologies and can issue coverage guidances on the technologies, mainly now to coordinated care organizations to say this is what should be covered and this is what should not be covered. So for the members of AdvaMed, as well as for healthcare practitioners and patient groups, it's a process that people have been concerned about and watch with apprehension. Senate Bill 621 is modeled exactly after the statute for the Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committee. The Oregon Health Authority recommended an amendment to have the temporary experts serve only on the subcommittees and not on the full commission, and we are fine with that amendment. And we believe very strongly that this bill will help the commission make informed decisions, and it will help build confidence that this process is indeed very thorough.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Dr. Smith, do you want to say a few words?
Thank you.
Chair Mona Thanderson, Vice Chair Cruz, and the committee. Janine Smith, the actually Chief Medical Officer, OHA, and the Administrator of the Office of Health Policy and Research, which staffs the Health Evidence Review Commission. And we've spent a lot of time talking, actually for quite a while, a year or so back, and we're fine with this. We already do have, through the rules process, a similar process. It's just that I appoint the ad hoc expert, and then this bill just changes it to being the Director of the Health Authority.
Okay. Any questions? We're in work session.
Madam Chair, see, I knew there was a dash one amendment somewhere. Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 621.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 621. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 621 as amended by the dash one amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 621 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Sanders.
Excused.
Senator Knopf.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
And Mona Thanderson.
Aye. Motion carries. And it's me and Cruz that are chief sponsors of this bill.
That's right.
Do you want to carry it?
Sure.
All right. With that, we'll close.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of allowing Senator Shields to vote on Senate Bill 601.
Senator Cruz moves that the rules be suspended so that Senator Shields may vote on Senate Bill 601. Any opposition to that? Senator Shields, how do you vote?
Aye.
Let the record show that Senator Shields votes aye. All right, now.
Now you can go about your business. So.
All right, and I did close the work session on that.
Yes, you did.
Well, just in case I didn't, close the work session on Senate Bill 621 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 136. Sandy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 136. Provides that the Oregon State Board of Nursing may authorize certified registered nurse anesthetists to write prescriptions and dispense prescription drugs. And you have a dash two amendment that I believe folks will be speaking to.
All right. So we will call Julie Weiss, Kathy Cook, and Christine Cowgill. Or is it Cowgill?
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Thanderson and members of the committee. My name is Julie Wise, and I am an attorney representing the Oregon Association of Nurse Anesthetists. I practice with the Portland firm of Hagland Kelly, and we represent the Oregon Association of Nurse Anesthetists and have done for a number of years. And we appreciate the opportunity to be before you today and urge your support of SB 136 with the dash two amendments. We seek the passage of SB 136 with the dash two amendments to ensure that prescriptive authority is an available tool in the CRNA or Certified Registered Nurse Anesthetist toolkit, particularly in the rural settings. This is an important issue. CRNAs are the only group of advanced practice registered nurses in Oregon who lack prescriptive authority. And not all CRNAs need or desire prescriptive authority, but for those who do, it is an important tool to have available to Oregonians. Even though we are here asking for legislative authority to have prescriptive authority for CRNAs, it's important to understand that this is not a new skill for CRNAs. CRNAs currently are authorized to independently select, order, and administer medications in the care setting, and that includes prescription drugs. So every day, Oregonians are receiving prescriptive drugs at the hands of CRNAs, and it's going just fine. But because the CRNAs lack prescriptive authority. What they cannot do is write a prescription and give the prescription to a patient to take to a pharmacist to obtain a necessary medication for something, for example, prior to a procedure, perhaps something to ease anxiety, or perhaps something for after a procedure that might aid with alleviating nausea. These are important things for the patients, and allowing these CRNAs to have prescriptive authority would ensure that Oregonians get the best possible care. Now, just as SB 136 with the Dash 2 amendments does not involve a new skill, it also is not a new legislative concept. We, at the urging of the Oregon State Board of Nursing, modeled this bill after an existing bill, existing statute rather, ORS 678.390, that authorizes nurse practitioners and clinical nurse specialists to prescribe medications. So the other advanced practice registered nurses in Oregon already have prescriptive authority. They also have dispensing authority, and it's important to realize that the CRNAs are not seeking dispensing authority. Originally, SB 136 as drafted did include that dispensing authority, and the Dash 2 amendments remove that dispensing authority. So now the CRNAs are simply seeking prescriptive authority. And the important point here is that this is not a new legislative concept. Advanced practice registered nurses in Oregon are prescribing drugs now, and the certified registered nurse anesthetists seek that same authority to ensure access to care. This committee has been engaged in a lot of important work in healthcare reform, and SB 136 is of a similar vein. Ensuring that CRNAs can practice to the fullest extent of their scope is consistent with healthcare reform initiatives, and that's where Oregon has been a big leader. Nurses as a whole, including CRNAs and other advanced practice registered nurses, should be at the forefront, we believe, of healthcare reform. And that's what SB 136 is about. So we urge your support. We would like to see the bill with its amendments move out of committee. And most importantly, we just urge you to champion the bill.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Monis Anderson and the esteemed members of the Senate Healthcare and Human Services Committee. My name is Kathy Cook. I am a CRNA, and I want to thank you for allowing me to speak regarding Senate Bill 136, the bill that advocates the authorization of CRNAs to have prescriptive authority. Please appreciate that the testimony that I express at this hearing today is my own and is solely based upon my own knowledge. And I apologize, but my testimony will be sent to you electronically later today. I'd like to recognize also that SB 136 does not expand the scope of practice of CRNAs. I urge you to pass this legislation to allow nurse anesthetists to have prescriptive authority in order to facilitate the anesthesia care of the citizens of the state of Oregon. As you know, currently under state and federal mandates, CRNAs are recognized to select, order, and administer medications. This requires that each CRNA possesses extensive education in pharmacology, medications, and medication therapy. This education goes beyond pharmacotherapeutics alone. In fact, the education of the CRNA is more akin to a medical model, where CRNAs study pharmacodynamics, which is what the drugs do to the body, pharmacokinetics, what the body does to the drugs, and pharmacotherapeutics, which is how we use the medications therapeutically. So this is a routine, mandatory part of CRNA practice. CRNAs perform these tasks of drug selection and administration daily for each patient that they anesthetize. So based upon their education and training, CRNAs have done this for years without patient safety issues or public concerns. So working with these medications is not a new skill for CRNAs. I hate to say this, but I've been a CRNA since 1987, so now you know how old I am. For this entire over 25-year period, I have been involved in some way in nurse anesthesia education. I participated in the education of nurse anesthesia students in the clinical setting, in the classroom, administratively, and on a national level. I can state with certainty that CRNAs educated at every accredited nurse anesthesia educational program throughout the United States are subject to the same stringent requirements of the Council on Accreditation of Nurse Anesthesia Educational Programs. The COA is recognized by the United States Department of Education and also by CHEA, the Council for Higher Education Accreditation, as the sole accreditor of nurse anesthesia educational programs. Our current educational requirements have been in place since 1998 adoption of the entry into practice requirement that all CRNAs possess a master's degree. The nurse anesthesia educational programs are required to provide a minimum of 105 hours of pharmacology education integrated throughout their educational programs, which typically now range from 27 months at the master's degree level to 36 months at the doctoral degree level. Pharmacology then is woven throughout the entire curriculum for the nurse anesthetist. It's part of the principles of anesthesia courses, which are an additional 105-hour requirement and are typically exceeded by most programs. And that is where the education ties everything together. It takes the patient assessment, physiology, pathophysiology related to the disease or the disorder that the patient's having surgery or procedure for. It ties all of that together and talks about the anesthetic implications and then how to develop the anesthesia care plan, which is then, you know, where the nurse anesthetist selects what type of anesthetic that they will administer to the patient. So how can adding prescriptive authority help the current healthcare process? This authority would allow CRNAs the opportunity to obtain medications from a pharmacy to assist with any side effects related to the surgery or anesthesia that the patient might have. It also, this lack of prescriptive authority may put some patients at risk because of a weak continuum of care or a delay in process, such as perhaps the patient is suffering a side effect and the surgeon is not available. So adding a prescriptive authority option for the CRNAs in the state of Oregon also allows for additional safety and accountability with the use of all medications. Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, regulations currently allow the CRNAs to select, order, and administer controlled substances without the CRNA obtaining their own DEA registration. The CRNA then, in this case, acts as an agent or an employee of a DEA registrant. If a CRNA were to obtain prescriptive authority, then they would be required to obtain their own DEA registration, thereby making that accountability the direct responsibility of the CRNA. So granting CRNAs the ability to obtain prescriptive authority will help to ensure and improve the access of high-quality, cost-effective healthcare for Oregonians based on the needs of the local clinical setting. CRNA prescriptive authority is a good public health policy, particularly given our role in Oregon as leaders in healthcare transformation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Christina Cowgill, and I'm a nurse anesthetist, and I'm also serving as the Director of Government Relations for the Oregon Association of Nurse Anesthetists. Or since that's a mouthful, I'll say ARANA for the remainder of my testimony here today. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here once again before you, but this time with urging your support of Senate Bill 136 with the friendly amendments that we have agreed to that are before you today. ARANA has a membership of over 320 nurse anesthetists that practice in Oregon, with most of our practitioners practicing in the rural setting, including critical access hospitals. And as an association, we have been very careful in considering whether or not even to bring this issue forth to the legislature, because historically, nationwide, this has been fraught with a lot of historical challenges by anesthesiologists and restraints on CRNA practiced by medicine. However, ARANA, after querying our members, believes wholeheartedly that lifting barriers and or potential barriers to serving Oregon patients is the best, most fluid way, and that far outweighs the turf battle and the politics between the practice of medicine and the practice of nursing. In your testimony packet, I have given you a few documents for your review. And one of them, very timely, is actually a six-year review of CRNA prescribing practice that was written by Dr. Louise Kaplan after 6 years of review in the state of Washington, when in 2005 CRNAs were given the right to have prescriptive authority. I found that a very interesting article to bring to your attention because I do think that Washington and Oregon will have a lot of similarities in this regard. Also included in your packet are letters of support, both from anesthesiologists and a surgeon, in regard to how Senate Bill 136 would assist in making healthcare more fluid and allow nurse anesthetists to work to best of their scope. So in regards to the Kaplan study by Dr. Louise Kaplan, and she did look at 6 years of prescribing, as I said, in the state of Washington, only 30% of CRNAs in that state actually pursue prescriptive authority. So the remaining nurse anesthetists in that state do operate under the current Nurse Practice Act provision to select, order, and administer. Based on our survey from our membership, we feel that we would be below and not likely to exceed this percentage in the state of Oregon unless there was some other changes. And for instance, like the hospital were to mandate that a CRNA had prescriptive authority to work at their hospital and mandate possibly that that CRNA working at that hospital had a DEA number. We have seen that happen in some other states because of the narcotic issue that officials want to address and having that DEA number linked to an individual instead of an institution. The other outcome of the Kaplan study was just, I wanted to highlight this because there's a lot of talk about narcotic overprescribing if prescriptive authority is at the hands of nurse anesthetists. And when that six-year review came due, only 53% of what CRNAs were prescribing were narcotics. The remainder and the majority were benzodiazepines, hypnotics, and not surprisingly, 97% of what they prescribed were anesthetics. So I just want to go on record saying that very few CRNAs in Washington have taken advantage of prescriptive authority, and there have not been any issues brought to the state level of difficulty with CRNAs disciplinary actions as a direct result of prescriptive authority. Also in your packet is a testimony from a board-certified anesthesiologist highlighting the impact that he believes passing Senate Bill 136 would have on the benefit of patient care in Oregon. And I will just quote from his letter because I think he states it well, that while writing prescriptions for patients receiving anesthesia care does not occur with great frequency, there are several circumstances under which the ability to coordinate and provide needed medicines for patients both before and after surgery is highly beneficial to Oregonians. For example, a patient arrives for their preoperative visit and they need antibiotics, anti-anxiety medications, or anti-nausea medication before their surgery. Anesthesia providers, regardless of their academic credentials, are experts in this area of perioperative patient care, and Senate Bill 136 would allow CRNAs to work at the level of their education and training for the good of our shrinking healthcare dollars and for the good of the citizens of Oregon. This would also put them at the same level as other advanced practice nurses in our state of Oregon. And a similar message from a surgeon kind of reviewing a day in the life of a surgeon and how this change would impact his flow of patient management as well. So in conclusion, if one understands the way that CRNAs are educated, which you likely do now after hearing from Kathy Cook, and how they practice in the state of Oregon, one can conclude that this is not a scope of practice issue. It is a practice barrier that, if removed, is the best way to offer outstanding patient care, and that is what healthcare is all about. I thank you for your time and respectfully request that Senate Bill 136 is passed.
Thank you. And I think for the record, it's Dr. Robert Montgomery, MD, who is an anesthesiologist who gave testimony and support, as well as Dr. Aaron Martin,
who is a DO in favor of Senate Bill 136. Okay.
Yes, Senator. Thank you.
And so if there's a complaint for a nurse, for a CRNA, what's the process for a complaint? Do they report to the Board of Nursing?
Correct. They report to the Board of Nursing.
And if corrective action needs to be taken, then what happens?
That would be done by the Board of Nursing as well.
Okay. And have hospitals, I don't think, are signed up to testify, but it would be interesting to know if hospitals, you had mentioned in one of your testimonies that hospitals do employ nurse anesthetists, and would this bill make it easier for some of the problems that they may encounter if a physician isn't on board to grant a prescription?
We didn't have any testimony from the hospitals at this time.
Okay. Well, there's a hospital sitting in the back, and if there's a problem, I would hope that they would get us some information.
We talked at length with the Board of Pharmacy, since that it seemed like that was within their purview, and that's they offered the friendly amendment to omit the dispensing because they definitely felt strongly that prescriptive authority would be well-received, and that possibly dispensing would make it appear that CRNAs were, you know, trying to institute pill mills, and we actually agree with that. So,
how long has the board has Washington had this?
Since 2005.
Since 2005, and do you know if there are very many complaints that have come in?
There was 3 disciplinary actions that are on record, public record. None of the 3 had anything to do with prescriptive authority in the state of Washington.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I came across a document a couple of weeks ago where the National Governors Association is really encouraging advanced practice nurses to to provide care to the top of their license nationwide, and they've did a complete meta-analysis of the literature and found out that there's really no basis for concern. And so I would support this bill and think we should move forward with it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, panel. And Joy Ingerson, who please introduce yourself and proceed with testimony. And I know you're on mute, so you're still on mute. We can't hear you.
Joy, are you still on the phone?
Okay. She's actually interim executive director of the Board of Nursing. So if she comes back on, hopefully we can have her testimony. With that, I'd like to call forward, is it Joan Jean?
Joanne Jenny.
Oh, Joanne Jenny, Mark Norland, and Greg Miller.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Greg Miller. I represent the Oregon Society of Anesthesiologists in opposition to Senate Bill 136. I had planned on delivering Dr. Mark Gilbert's testimony for him, but as he was available to be here today, I'd be happy to defer to him on this issue, if that's okay with the committee.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Madam Chair Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Dr. Mark Gilbert. I currently reside in Westland, Oregon, practice in the Portland metropolitan area. I believe Senate Bill 136 will reduce the safety and increase the cost of health care in Oregon, and I would ask the legislature to reject it. My education included 5 years of undergraduate science degree from the University of California in Irvine, 4 more years in medical school at the Medical College of Wisconsin to earn my medical degree, and then another 4 years in internship and specialty residency in anesthesia to become an anesthesiologist. After the additional year of clinical practice and study and continuing education, I achieved board certification. I maintain a continuing educational commitment of 50 hours per year for licensure in Oregon. Anesthesia doctors make an annual commitment to 50 hours per year of ongoing education on top of at least these 13 or 14 years of education and training because the state of Oregon and the rest of the United States has accumulated data to show what is required for physicians to deliver safe and effective care for our citizens. We must not have non-physicians establish a less educated tier of training and prescribing privilege to deliver care to Oregonians. How many might be harmed? The broader type and amount of training of education that a doctor undertakes is what allows them to assess how medical comorbidities, like diseases such as obstructive sleep apnea, will increase the dangers of prescribing something, an entity, a disease process that is barely understood by those in the medical profession. How should we attend and hand off care and delivery of care and prescribing ability to those who have less education in handling a situation like this that's still evolving to be understood? We, by our study, learn how to avoid drug interactions, contraindications, and appropriate prescribing. We safely craft a plan tailored for each patient's condition, and we put it into action through acute pain, medical experiences like labor and delivery, and surgery. 5 weekdays of 9 hours of education per day, or 45 hours, is the total number of hours proposed in Senate Bill 136 under one of the amendments. And that's not equivalent to the year a doctor spends, the hours a doctor spends in a single year to prepare for the responsibility of prescribing. The medical education required to prescribe is not just a week-long course in pharmacology. We heard earlier testimony about pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, how the medications act in a patient's system. But what we have to realize is that the American medical education integrates anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, genetics, pathology, immunology, and takes all of this into a comprehensive view looking with pharmacology at all these different areas. And that's why it's estimated by the American Medical Association that a complete education in medicine for physician prescribing is about 10,000 hours of pharmacy, not the 500 that we heard earlier from other testimony. When today's pharmaceuticals are becoming more potent, modern pharmaceuticals have a narrower safety margin, who better to deliver the decision of what medications are best prescribed than somebody with that extensive amount of training and education? Senate Bill 136 proposes to overturn an accumulated wisdom of years of required training and education by letting someone study for 45 years and prescribe these very dangerous and destructive and potentially addicting medications to unwary citizens of Oregon. The CDC states that the rate of deaths from prescription pain medications has tripled since 1990. Oregon is already in the top category of states with the highest percentage of pain medication prescriptions by the pound, between 19 and 28 pounds per 10,000 people in Oregon, placing it in the highest category. In 2010, enough pain medications were prescribed to keep every adult in the American population around the clock medicated for a month. Isn't there enough medication out there? Do we really want to give more people prescriptive authority and add to the misery that comes with addiction and these expansive efforts to have more people give prescriptions to patients? In addition, the prescription for chronic medication for pain relief requires another 1 to 2 years of fellowship pursuing study and training to safely guide chronic pain patients through prolonged illness, life-altering medical experiences. No one is better prepared than a physician to guide patients through conflicting advertisements that they face in mass media or conferences that promise unsupported outcomes. Only a doctor who has taken the years required to prepare themselves can chart a safe and appropriate course. The Oregonian and other lay press have explored the depth and breadth of prescription narcotic addiction, crime, harm, and death in Oregon and around this country. The medical community, payers, and regulatory bodies are working right now to reduce and eliminate inappropriate prescribing practices of these medication classes, and where possible, restrict them to pain management, multidisciplinary teams, which would have the expertise to appropriately treat Oregonians. Costs beyond those of the lives impacted or lost have also been measured. The CMS has produced, and U.S. Census have produced, studies that looked at the addition of independent prescribing practice by advanced practice nurses and CRNAs, and those states showed a higher cost per member beneficiary in those states that had more broad leeway for prescribing than other states which had more restrictive prescribing. Oregon tends to fall in the middle because we already do have some degree of prescribing independence by advanced practice nurses. So in conclusion, I speak against Senate Bill 136. I will offer up my testimony along with notes from CMS and the Census Bureau about the data that I said I had electronically at a little later time.
Thank you very much. And before we go on to you, I'd like to have Joy, are you on now?
I was able to call in on the cell phone. I apologize, Chair Mona Sanderson. We lost all connection through the
internet. Oh, I'm so sorry. But go ahead, introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. I'm Joy Ingerson. I'm the Interim Executive Director of the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and we wish to submit testimony regarding the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 136. The board's position on the bill is neutral. However, we do have concerns regarding two aspects of the amendments that we invite the committee to consider. The purpose of Senate Bill 136 is to add prescriptive authority to the scope of practice for the certified registered nurse anesthetist. The three advanced nursing categories currently licensed by the Oregon State Board of Nursing are nurse practitioner, which includes nurse midwives, clinical nurse specialist, and certified registered nurse anesthetist. Nurse practitioners and CNSs already have prescriptive authority. The board is glad to see that Section 2, Sub 2, Sub small b, Sub large b of the amendments now includes a requirement for education and pharmacotherapeutics. However, to ensure consistent preparation to prescribe across all advanced nursing licensees, the board suggests that this language mirror that which exists in 678.372 sub 3 sub b. This change would require CRNAs to receive clinical education in the patient management, including pharmacotherapeutics, that is comparable to the requirements for completion of a nurse practitioner program. This is the current standard used to issue prescriptive authority for Schedule 2 through 5 drugs for nurse practitioners and clinical nurse specialists. An additional concern is Section 2, Sub 3 of the amendments, which inadvertently prevents the board from issuing an emergency suspension in cases where prescriptive privilege has been abused. To ensure public safety, the board strongly encourages that this section of the bill be amended similarly to existing language in 678.390 sub 7. The Board of Nursing would be happy to answer any questions the committee may have or to work with staff on additional amendments to the bill. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much. And so proponents of the bill, as well as Sandy, if you could get together and work with the board on those changes if you feel appropriate. Okay. All right. Any questions? Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify against Senate Bill 136. My name is Mark Norling. I'm an anesthesiologist and a pain management physician with Oregon Anesthesiology Group. I primarily practice at Northwest Ambulatory Surgery Center in Northwest Portland. I am board certified in anesthesiology. I'm also board certified in pain management. And I've been practicing for over 20 years. I think the main issue I have with this bill is that we're going to get some unintended consequences. There's a few things about CRNAs that I think are maybe not completely clear. They are technically advanced practice nurses, but they are very specialized ones. They are only trained to administer anesthetics in the perioperative area. They are not trained in using oral or prescribing oral medications for the vast, with the exception of pre-op and post-op meds. Giving them complete prescriptive authority, I think, opens Pandora's box here and allows them to prescribe anything when they haven't been trained. Their practice is 100% in the operative arena. They do not have an office. Advanced practice nurses, nurse practitioners work in an office setting. They have backup systems in place to monitor prescriptions, to monitor patients. That's very difficult to do in the operating room. And I can give you a specific example of that from my practice. I've done chronic pain management for over 20 years. Last year, I decided to narrow my pain practice somewhat so that I could spend more time in the operating room. I'm well-trained to continue with pain management, and I do some injections. But since I'm not in an office setting and I don't have that backup, I don't have the means by which to follow patients 24/7 who are getting chronic opiates and other pain medications, I don't do that anymore. It's not safe. Giving this prescriptive authority sounds okay. Sounds like it should be advanced practice nurses, but they're very their training is not in that area. And I'm afraid that this will allow CRNAs without any training to move into the chronic pain realm, prescribe medications that they're not trained to prescribe, and unintended consequences will occur. This is not a turf battle. Believe me, the turf battle we lost years ago, because CRNAs have independent practice. There is no turf battle here. That's not it. And the other thing that you need to know is there's no prescription needed, no prescriptive authority needed to administer an anesthetic. None. Pre-op, post-op medications are prescribed by the surgeon, and that's the way it's been. And there's no issue there. Surgeons are rarely difficult to find. Certainly just immediately before or immediately after the operation. So there's no reason, no need for the prescriptive authority here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Moniz Anderson and the rest of the committee. My name is Joanne Jenny. I'm a physician and a retired anesthesiologist. A bit of background, I graduated from Willamette and OHSU Medical School. I served over 4 decades at Emanuel as a clinical anesthesiologist. Now you know how old I am. I've done some volunteer work internationally. I've worked with the anesthesia care team, as it's noted, with CRNAs as well as physician anesthesiologists. I spent a couple of terms on the Oregon Board of Medical Examiners, which brought a broader perspective to the practice of medicine and the ups and downs of it. And I'm very concerned with the fact that one of the things is that this committee or this bill was introduced without the pre-discussion, session discussions, which often I understand goes before bills are introduced, especially related to the OMA and the nursing healthcare facilities. And so one of the concerns was, why wasn't it vetted earlier? Secondly, many of the things that have been discussed by my colleagues here, I'm not going to belabor, but one of the things is that, first of all, the anesthesia nurses or the CRNAs do not need an FDA license. They can practice, as was mentioned, in any facility, in any area, and I could have practiced my 4 decades of anesthesia in Oregon without a DEA. If I had gone the reason I got one was because I was doing international medicine, and there was a requirement. So, number one, CRNAs don't need an FDA license. The second thing is that in an independent setting, a nurse doesn't have the backup, nor does the patient have the follow-up with regard to the care that they either received or the medications that they receive or may want to receive. And it's very important to be able to do a history and a physical and an examination, have medical records, have a backup, and to make sure that this is in the loop of the patient's best care. If a surgeon isn't responsible for his or her patient when they come for a procedure, either in an outpatient setting or a hospital setting, what can the public expect? And patient safety is a primary concern, and that's why one of the reasons I'm strongly against SB 136. Also, the training in pharmacology and medications is very according to the amendments, I understand, it's going to be put together by the Board of Nursing and Pharmacy, and this would provide maybe some guidelines, but certainly not enough hours of education with regard to medications, how they're used, the follow-up, and the patient management pre- and post-operatively. The other issue, you mentioned the state of Washington in 2005 allowed prescriptive privileges to advanced practice nurses, CRNAs. One of my colleagues in Seattle said, we spent one blankety-blank number of hours and money on this, and look, at we haven't had more than one-third of the nurses apply for this. So it really is not necessary in Oregon. We have other ways to cover that. And the physicians who wrote the two letters of support of the bill, it sounds to me like they're shirking a bit of their responsibility with regard to their patient obligations. And I think what has also been mentioned is the fact that Oregon has a number of narcotics and opiates prescribed for, quote, chronic pain relief, but often these are misguided and misused, and we get into a lot of trouble. Oregon is trying very hard to monitor and control these aberrant prescriptions that are written and rewritten and reissued, and I think it's very, very important to not support SB 136 at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for the panel? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
I'd like to ask Julie Weiss to come back up to address possible amendments.
Thank you, Senator Montes-Anderson and members of the committee. We are aware of the Oregon State Board of Nursing's two concerns, and we appreciate that. We saw their letter, and we have been working with the Oregon State Board of Nursing. On the first one regarding the patient management, including pharmacotherapeutics, when we spoke with the Oregon State Board of Nursing, they indicated that parity was really important among advanced practice registered nurses, and we took that to heart, and the Oregon Association of Nurse Anesthetists worked closely with the Oregon Nurses Association and had conversations about what that language, how that language should read. The reason we ended it after including pharmacotherapeutics instead of adding that is comparable to the requirements for completion of a nurse practitioner program was simply because a lot of nurse anesthetists are actually not educated in schools of nursing, and we were concerned about that comparability to a nurse practitioner program might be problematic for a nurse anesthetist who was not educated in a school of nursing. That was why, after talking with ONA, the Oregon Nurses Association, the decision was made to simply say including pharmacotherapeutics and leave it at that, and with the understanding, of course, that the Oregon State Board of Nursing will engage in rulemaking that is appropriate on the educational piece. But we will certainly go back and talk with the OSBN, the interim executive director, about that and make sure that we're all on the same page. And then on the second concern that was expressed regarding, I believe it has to do with the contested case hearing process, there was certainly no effort made to take away the ability of the Oregon State Board of Nursing to issue emergency suspensions. And that was simply a matter of working with legislative counsel, trying to come up with, sometimes language gets cleaned up in the process of taking an existing bill and using it as a template, and so we'll certainly work with the Oregon State Board of Nursing and Legislative Council to make sure that what the Oregon State Board of Nursing feels needs to be in there for patient safety and the safety of Oregonians is put back in there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No questions. Amazing. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I'm not sure where this bill is at this point in time.
It's right here.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. what I would like to do is get the Board of Nursing on track, and then we will see if we have a constitutional problem in the future. All right. With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 136. And Sandy, we're done, right? We're adjourned.